Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is Claudia Monacelli. My avid followers knew this podcast as Pleasure Seeking, the Pleasure Seeking podcast, named after my book, The Magic of Pleasure Seeking. As soon as it's available for pre-order, I'll announce it here. Enjoy your listening. Today, I'm not with a guest. I'm with two guests, and they are sisters. They are sisters who prefer to remain anonymous. They're twin sisters, and they're 25-year-old anonymous twin sisters then. And I met them. They're Indian. I met them on their podcast. I was a guest on their podcast that is called, had quite an interesting name. That's why I got in touch with them. Like Riding a Fish. The podcast is called Like Riding a Fish. But, and their website is also called likeridingafish.com. They're always keen to follow their gut, they say, and take the path that's less followed. So they can continue to develop and grow and probably try to get better at living this crazy life that we lead. So we will refer to them as Blue and Red, the two sisters. Come on in, Blue. Come on in, Red.
Hi. Thank you for having us on. It's a pleasure.
Oh, yes. I was looking so much forward to this. We had so much fun on your podcast.
Yeah, we sure did. That was a fun episode.
And this podcast episode is part of this series dedicated to Sushant Singh Rajput, but not necessarily only talking about him. What's interesting is all the idea around him, the impact that he has had on people after his death, his success or less success, the world of Bollywood, because I think it's a common, it's commonly accepted that he did not commit suicide and he was killed. But I'd like to start by asking both of you, and then you decide, just before you start talking, tell me if it's Blue or Red. I'd like to, you imagine, and I've been to India, so it's not for me, but imagine that you're talking to a public who has never been to India or maybe has been very little. And how would you describe the country for them?
Okay, so this is Red here. Mm-hmm. I think India, it's a very complex place, mm-hmm. definitely. I think a lot of people outside India have this one version of India in their mind because that's what, you know, is showcased in the media a lot of the times. It's this yes. place where there's a lot of, like, spirituality, and it's a place of maybe, like, even poverty. Yes. But then there's this one picture of India where you think of yoga and gurus. Yeah. And yeah, stuff like that.
Right.
But then India is pretty complex because we've got multiple, like, we've got a lot of states and we've got a lot of languages and a lot of, like, cultures all living together. So it's like Indians are not just one set of people. Indians yes. are like a 100 set of people living together.
It's a huge country.
Yeah, definitely.
And can you give us an idea of how large it is, geographically speaking? Compare it to another country, if you can.
Okay, so, like, it's Blue here, by the way, so just dipping in. Okay, so each state that India has, like, let me compare it to United States.
Right.
Everybody there speaks English, right? That's the one thing that everybody speaks there. In India,
and Spanish. They speak Spanish, too. Yeah.
But, like, it's a major, at least most people there will communicate in English. But mm-hmm. when you come to India, each state has its own, like, language. And even if you, like, move, like, 500 kilometers this side or that side, the dialects change.
Yes.
It's that sort of a variety. Mm. So, uh-huh. for example, right now we're sitting in Chennai, and it's part of Tamil Nadu, which has Tamil as the language, and it has a very particular culture. But then just a few thousand kilometers away is Kerala, where people speak Malayalam. So it's that different. Like, yeah. there's so many cultures that are, like, it's a culture, like, pot, you know, uh-huh. of sorts.
But is there a national, there are national languages. If I go to the,
yeah, like,
yeah.
a lot of people would want, like nowadays there's talks about, you know, having a particular like language, national language. Most people are like, a lot of people are saying that Hindi needs to be a national language, but I think coming from a very secular place where everybody needs to be included, because not everybody speaks like every language.
Yeah.
India does not have a official national language for sure. And like a lot of people in South India speak South Indian languages, and in North India, it's like some versions of Hindi. So like, I think the common language then becomes English, because that's at least like taught to a lot of people in India. So yeah, but yeah, we're like a varied bunch of people with, like, as in most countries, like you have different classes and we have caste system and all those things also. Yeah, and that's like deep rooted issues also, right? With every country comes everything. But yeah, I think like Ardi mentioned, Red Dino mentioned, that we all are like projected in a very typical way in the media, at least to the, you know, foreigners. And even when they come, like, I think we, when we were having a conversation before this, you mentioned how Indians are like known for their generosity.
Yes.
There's this common thing in India, which is like Atithi Devo Bhava, which is like your guest is like God.
Yes.
So you treat them like God. So I think a lot of foreigners view that side of us majorly. Yeah. But yeah, we're a mixed bunch of people, obviously.
Yeah. And as you were talking about the size thing, India's like, if you can think about it, it's like one third the size of US. So it's pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like a way more population than them. So we are a crowded country too.
Yeah. One thing, I, you know, seeing your age group, you know, 25 years old, I was wondering what are, because you talked about constraints and cultural traditions, what are the cultural traditions and constraints that you at that age feel specifically in your own family culture? Because every family is different.
I think one thing that just pops into my head, this is Red talking here, it would definitely be, you know, like pressures of marriage, like getting married.
Yeah,
I think that's everywhere, but then especially in India, because for women, you know, there's this certain deadline kind of a thing that, you know, by 25 you should be married, or by 27 you should be married max. So I think that definitely pops up. That's something that a lot of our friends also face, that just because you hit the 25 deadline, you're supposed to at least start looking at the option of getting married at least. And if you're not, then, you know, like, what are you doing with your life? Like, get going with your next stage.
Well, then it's going to be a double wedding.
Anyways, not happening anytime.
Thankfully our family's a bit more like on the liberal end, so they're like, it's on you, you do you kind of a thing. But then yeah, a lot of our friends and those conversations do definitely pop up.
It's blue here. Another thing is that India as a whole is like a very collectivistic society. So it's like, it's about more than the individual, it's about the group that you're a part of, which is why like family is so important. And there is a nature of hierarchy, like if you, you have elders in your family, you listen to them. It's by default that you respect them. And like if you compare it to United States, it's mostly the case that, you know, individuals are individuals, like even parents let go of their children like when they turn 18. In India, that's not the case. That's why you hear about, you know, Indians staying with their parents, because that's a, that's a cultural thing. You stay with your parents, and even when in their old age, you take them into your home so you can take care of them. So coming from that ideology, I think a lot of parental pressure also plays in, family pressure also plays in, especially at our age, like with a lot of people wanting to follow their passions, but it not being like a safe route, that can be a problem. So I think those kind of challenges do appear to our age group, for sure.
Let's talk about, we're talking about the culture, the social culture, the media, you know, because we were talking about Bollywood. I mentioned Bollywood. The media, how important, like, all right, let's say I am one of your friends, and a COVID aside, all right, so it's Saturday. It's a Saturday. It's a Saturday night. Typically, let's forget COVID, but typically on a Saturday night, do you feel comfortable going out alone as women in India? Is it something you do, or do you generally go out in a group of friends?
Okay, yeah. So, Blue here. Just to set context, like we are from upper middle class family in India who's living in a metropolitan city. So things are way different because India also has a lot of rural regions, and from like territory to territory, the level of safety of women does change. But like India is one of the top countries which has like women safety issues for sure.
Yes.
And yeah, like, but also from our experience, like if it's like later than like 10, 11,
yes,
it's way better. Like if you're with people and like if you're in a cab riding home, like for example, if we are out and getting a drink and then we're going by a cab back home, then it's for sure a case that a woman would have called up one of her friends on the way home or like texted them the cab number so that, you know, they make sure that they're being tracked or whatever. And but then there are cities like Bombay where like people are up till like 3 a.m. So you don't need to be worried because there's always people around. But then when you go to Delhi, like at 8 p.m. itself, women start feeling unsafe because the like the culture there is such that, okay, you might not be the safest if you're roaming around alone. So that's, yeah, I'm not going to underplay that.
Because
that is definitely an issue.
When I went, I was telling, talking to you before, I told you I had gone for a wedding. And my friend never, ever let me go out alone. Never, ever. Yeah. Not even for a walk. I guess that was just be out of respect, I guess.
Yeah, sure. And as a foreigner also, like, we're all very, like I said, right, guests are God. And you want to be very protective of people, especially from outside, because you might even be taken advantage of without, like, knowing, right?
Because
there's so many people there. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, if there's someone from outside who comes home, we are going to be extra cautious.
Yeah, I think it's, like, with every tourist, like, even if people go to, like, US or, like, Italy or any place where you don't really know the language that's spoken commonly, you're going to be protective of that person because you're like, oh, you don't really.
So similar, I guess. I was thinking recently, I believe there have been elections. Is that true?
Not like entire countrywide. There are some state elections going on,
The national elections haven't come about yet?
No, they happened a few years back.
So that will it will be in the in the future. All right, so let's go hit the topic of Bollywood. What is Bollywood? Do you have any idea, since you're so young, perhaps you grew up when Bollywood was probably starting? Could that, is that true?
No,
could that be?
Because
Bollywood is way older, isn't it?
It's been there for like ages. Like our grandparents have been young and like have seen movies, you know?
Yeah, like since the 1900s, early 1900s, like Indian cinema has been there. Yeah, but like Bollywood has definitely been like a big part of like the Indian culture.
Yes.
Especially it's like if you talk to Indians, it's a common theme of like, you know, cricket and Bollywood are the two things that unite everyone.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about this. All right. Cricket, I imagine because of the English reign over India, right?
Yeah.
And cricket, I don't know very much about cricket. All I know is that it could be a game that lasts forever.
So, yeah, there are different, like, formats of the game. So, you have, like, five-day games. You have, like, one-day test cricket. And then you have, like, 20-20 matches that get over in, like, 2-3 hours. So, it depends on, like, how many overs are there, like, how many balls are
going to be played. If we start explaining the game, it's going to take up the entire
episode. Yeah, but then definitely. It originated as a very lengthy game.
Have you played? Have either of you played?
I think every kid growing up in India, like if they're going out, you're playing cricket with your friends. That's one of the games you do end up playing. But it's another matter that the bat's always too heavy for us to hold, so we were very bad at it. But yeah, we played it for sure.
Okay, so you haven't in your lifetime experienced, you must have, a national election?
Yeah.
And you were able to vote, right? At 18?
We were more than 18, but yeah, that's when.
But that's when, okay. So then you are upstanding citizens, as I just wanted to put you into context. Okay, so now we're in Bollywood. And as far as you can remember in your age, Can you remember one of the first actors or actresses that made an impact on you? Or that you couldn't remember?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for sure. Like, Red and I are big Bollywood fans. Like, I think that we were one of those people who every week were going to the movies. So we've just grown up with movies. Ooh. And we're, like, yeah, it's just, it's been a very strong relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the first actors that we remember, like, falling in love with has to be Shah Rukh Khan.
Oh.
Like, it was just that it. Like, I think most people growing up our age were either...
You mean the brother of Faisal Khan?
No. Oh. It's SRK. Yeah, you can Google it.
Ah, okay, okay. And how old is he now, this actor?
He's 50 plus now.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's 50 plus. Yeah, Faisal Khan is the brother of Aamir Khan. I think you might have.
Thinking of Aamir Khan. Yeah.
So that's what, like, growing up, you were either like Aamir Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, or Salman Khan.
Okay.
Sex, generally.
So there are factions here. I get it. And he's still an actor today, then.
Yeah, definitely is.
Is he a popular actor?
Yeah, I think he must be one of the most famous Indian actors. He has a very good international following too. For sure. He's like the romance.
The romantic. Mm. I see. And then after him, who came up in your interests?
I think then, I guess it was like Ranveer Singh that, you know, which is like 10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago. But then I think, for the longest time, it was just SRK's reign, Shah Rukh Khan's reign. But yeah, there are a lot of like young actors who definitely have now taken center stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think like when we were younger, we were just like, you know, gobbling up whatever we saw.
Yeah.
As we've grown older, it's become a lot more about the craft and the story and the plot.
Yes.
So it's not just like one actor. It's like...
Of course.
Varied bunch of things, and like especially the movies that come with them.
Interesting.
Then we come to this actor in particular, because people started writing to me over and over about Sushant Singh Rajput since his death, and had asked me to channel him, and I had no clue. And it started I think it was maybe October, September of last year. Oh. And then I realized that this was not just any person or soul, because I was working with him at the soul level. Apart from me as an outsider seeing the phenomenon that people just wanted, it was like, I think many, many years ago when Frank Sinatra died and all the ladies were swooning, you know, I got that same feeling. But was he that famous when he was alive?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, just the fact that we talked about Shah Rukh Khan, that brings up a lot of comparisons, because when Sushant Singh Rajput also... became like did his first film, there were a lot of comparisons made to Shah Rukh Khan, because they both started in the television, and they both were, you know, non-Bollywood fraternity people who weren't, you know, connected to Bollywood in any sort of way, so they kind of came up because of their own talent.
I still remember we went to watch his first movie Kai Po Che, and in the cinema. Yeah, we didn't know what to expect.
When was that? Do you remember when that was his first movie?
2013, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were not, we were definitely not adults. We were still like in
17, yeah, 16.
15, 16, something like that. And we went to watch it, and we had no idea like who this person was, because we had not seen his shows.
Right.
And we categorically remember, I think that was a unanimous thing. Like, you walked out being like, this guy is talented. For sure. Like, that film was such that and his performance was such that you all immediately had that impact. And I think everybody knew from that day that, okay, this is like, because a lot of people from television would want to come to the films and would not be successful in doing that.
Yeah.
So I think by the first film, if you feel like, oh my God, this guy might actually make it.
Yeah.
It was that kind of a feeling for everybody. So he definitely made an imprint and an impact on the Indian audience, like with his first film itself.
Well, that's interesting. But then it almost seemed to me that he became even more famous after he passed, after his death.
Yeah, I wouldn't say more famous. Mm-hmm. I think just the way it all happened, and it all just as came as a shock. And you know, the impact of someone's like passing away is always higher when you know it's a young soul, right? And it was an untimely death. And when that sort of a thing happens, it just like the passions are more wilder.
Yeah.
So I think people always knew of him and people always loved him, but it just became like a wildfire.
Yeah, it's there are many. This happens in countries all over the world, and because the demography, you know, the population is such in India that the numbers are so high, it has a greater impact. And then now there's this second actor that's similar. There has been many parallelisms between Sushant and Siddharth Shukla. Do you know Siddharth? Did you know him before he passed?
Yeah, very, very slightly. We didn't like consume a lot of like his shows, but he was also a big personality in the television industry. Mm-hmm. So you obviously like most Indians would have like heard of him or like known him from somewhere. So yeah, we definitely did know a bit about him, but then again, his death was a shock to everyone.
A shock, yeah.
And his passing, yeah. So I think I've also noticed that a lot of like parallels have been drawn between.
Yeah, and I think the last few years, not just in India, like all over the world, we've seen so many, especially people, we are talking about the entertainment industry. So like so many people in the entertainment industry just like suddenly pass away without like people expecting it. Even Chadwick Boseman, like in India also, we had so many more actors. So I think it's just been like one hit after the other.
Yeah, especially during COVID, because death definitely has been around us.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, and celebrities' deaths are definitely much more like visible because they're always on the media.
And also they impact so many people, not just their family, right?
So
definitely that leads a chord.
Well, I'd like to now turn the topic a little bit and turn the focus on you too. Let's start, because I mentioned I was a guest on your podcast. What made you decide to start a podcast? How did you start it?
Oh, okay. So I think 2019 itself, right? Yeah, 2019 was a year where, like, it was a tough year for us, a confusing year for us, because we had just like finished our education and we were just wondering what do we want to do next. We didn't like a lot of people in our age group would directly like take on a job, and we went the off beaten path to just be like, okay, let's hit pause and see actually what we want to do.
Right.
And that year, like, obviously when you're not doing stuff and all your peers are, it hits your self-esteem, it hits your confidence, it really makes you like confused about where you're going.
Right.
And I think in that sort of a phase where we didn't know what to do, we just had to channel our creativity somewhere. And Red one day was like, you know what, let's start a podcast. And we're not people who are, you know, clearly like we're even anonymous right now, but we've not been people who've been on social media. We just like not those people. So when Red said that, I was like, oh, okay, you know, that sounds exciting. Like, it sounds like a task and it sounds challenging enough and it'll take up like in a good enough time of, you know, our day. And I think that's just how it started. It was just
but
like a...
What about the name?
Project.
The name, like riding a fish. It's so unique.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was Blue's invention, definitely. So we were just talking about, you know, we wanted our podcast to be about life because we were contemplating a lot of life's issues while just sitting at home. Blue was one day like, well, how about, you know, something like riding a bicycle, because, you know, people just quote that a lot of the time.
Yes.
It's as easy as like riding a bicycle, but life's not as easy as doing that.
I get it.
And you can't really, you know, even if you've learned some doing, or if you've learned living life once, and, you know, the next stage is not going to be the same. You've got to like relearn stuff and just keep on evolving. So she was like, well, how about like riding a fish? And I was like, why fish? She was like, because it's absurd and life is absurd. So I was like, okay. I wasn't up for the idea at first. I was like contemplating, but I was like, you know what? Let's just give into it.
Yeah.
It's unique, as you said. It stands out. So,
well, yeah, is it a weekly podcast? Do you put out an episode each week or bi-weekly? How does it go?
Yeah, it's weekly most of the times, but we are not as regular sometimes because we're lazy and we get caught up with life and work.
Of course.
So yeah, but we try to do a weekly episode at least.
Yeah, yeah. And has it been successful that you know of? Are you able to round up your friends to listen? And because you said you weren't on social media, but then I know that you're you're on Instagram because you're a follower of mine and I follow you. But you did start with social media then, did that?
Yeah, was we that, had to because first yeah, you of all, have like, to. We were anonymous. Yeah, we were anonymous. Like, we still are, but like, there was literally no one. It was just the two of us who knew for like at least 6 months because we didn't want the baggage of, you know, expectations or people suddenly like being like, what? Because it was really, it still is a very personal project for us.
Yes.
It's just like, we've repeatedly said this to each other that it's therapy for us because we sit down every week and just talk.
Yes.
And like things of the week just let out. And so our intent was just to like talk to each other and talk through stuff we wouldn't normally like sit and talk
Give
about.
Give me an example so we can get people interested. Let's say the last week's topic, how did that work?
Yeah. Oh, that was based on a conversation we had after watching Squid Game. Did you watch that? It just...
It's a show that's blown up on Netflix. Squid Game.
What is it called?
Squid Game.
No, I've never heard of it. I'll write
it's
it down.
A Korean show.
I hope we have it here in Italy.
Yeah, and it's doing the waves right now. And we just like randomly chanced upon it on Netflix and we saw it. And we didn't expect it to blow up because it was a Korean show. So we didn't think, you know, people would, they would get the audience it has gotten now. And when it did blow up and we just like found, because we've been consuming Korean content for like a year now.
Yeah.
So we just noticed that there were some things that we caught on because we've been like a year long consumer that was like very culturally heavy and sensitive and like we were language specific that we were able to catch on to. But we knew like a foreign audience would not be consuming Korean content, wouldn't catch on to that. So it was just like a commentary. That was just a commentary episode. But then like when we're talking about life, we talk about like stuff like, you know, what is the purpose of life? And or, you know, something as silly as, you know, why we believe you shouldn't have friends as roommates. So it can just be a varied range what we want to talk about that week. But it's just like, like you said, it hasn't been successful for us because starting out, we did not have any expectations.
Right.
Just the fact that, you know, and we got onto social media just to get some sort of a listening because how else do you reach out to people?
Right.
And just the fact that we've been able to connect to like some awesome people who really think like us and, you know, even just come on this podcast. So these opportunities have just come about and like even one listener coming on who we don't know of in real life is like, we count as success. And that's been the case. Now, of course, we have a few friends we've told, our parents know, a few of our siblings know. So then you know, we have that listening audience there. But the true like win has been like connecting with random strangers who say that they think like us or they don't think like us, but want to talk.
Of course,
of course.
I know that not everyone in the world is a twin. And obviously that has been influential in both of your lives. And since as far as you could remember, has it always been... Mm-hmm. An issue, or it never goes away. I mean, you are together. We're born together. What does it feel like to be a twin?
I think this is one question that has been posed to us the most often. Like since we were kids, we're like, people are like, how does it feel like to have a twin? And we're like, we don't really know any different, so we can't tell you what, you know, it
That's
feels
right.
like what stands out. But yeah, I think just from conversations with people, one thing that jumps out is because we are not those twins who are not friends, or we're not the twin, those twins who are not similar. We're actually very similar in a lot of our ways. Oh. We have similar the same hobbies. We have very similar likes and preferences and stuff like that. But then our personalities are very different. So a lot of like people who do, you know, who are mutual friends and like people who are in our lives, they do say that, you know, we can't imagine you guys not being together, because by luck or by pure chance or by, you know, our own choices, we've just had a very similar journey till now, at least. So I think that would be a bit interesting to see if we both have different lives and are not, you know, similar, or even like not connected, and like, because we've gone to the same school, we ended up somehow in the same colleges, and now after we decided, like, what we finally figured out what to do with life, we've actually like have come together as like
a freelance
freelancing team. And we work together even with clients, so it's literally been at least our roads have been the same. So I think for a lot of people it's I think the way they see it, and that's how I think now, like when people ask me, right, what do you think of being twins and whatnot, what comes to mind is that we have a support in each other, because like there's always backup,
of course,
where a lot of people might feel like they're alone and very like separate. We at least always feel a little connected because we are very close, but also there's a viewpoint where it's like maybe you're too connected and you're too dependent on each other. So I think it's a very risky balance between that those two words.
We were talking about Bollywood before. Have either of you ever grown up with the idea of wanting to be in movies? Has that ever occurred?
I think I think the movie industry for sure is, I think for most Indians, it's a very aspirational industry, as in it's because, okay, one thing about Indians is we really hold our celebrities and especially the movie stars in a very high light. And I think when you compare it with other countries, the passion with which we love our stars, movie stars, is unparalleled, for sure.
I see.
There's that amount of a craze, okay, like, if you go to, for example, Shah Rukh Khan's house on any random day, you'll at least find like 10, 20, 30 people in front of his house just waiting to get a glance. And on his birthdays, it's literally like filled with 1,000 people. You need to have like police everywhere and all sort of things. So it's that sort of a world that we live in. So I think we never actively wanted to be part of the movies, but it would be like, we have to point it out, because when we were in college and there was an opportunity to intern, we both went into the Bollywood industry to intern. I went as a PR person, and our Red went as a marketing person in the entertainment business. So I think the, but I think 2 months doing that, we both were like, okay, it's so close to home and it's so close to things that we like that it's like, you know, the business side of it just dampens it. So I think once we did that, we were like, okay, no, I think that's, for us, it's better as consumers, for sure.
What is, you know, you said that many things have been solved today, the freelancing, and you've worked things out together in many respects. What have been the greatest obstacles for you in your life so far? I mean, this goes beyond the idea of being a twin, obviously.
I think a blue here. For me, I think for the longest time, it was just, I saw myself as a student, because it was the easiest thing that came to me, which was like learning. I didn't have to put in too much time or effort. I was just a naturally
lucky you.
Good.
You must have been a good student.
And it came without a lot of pressure or anxiety for me, luckily. So for me, that was a very easy part to take. Even when I didn't know what I wanted to do, I just knew I needed to like go and take a graduate course. And then once I got done with my graduation, I was like, oh, should I go for a job or post-graduation? Even when I didn't know what I wanted to do, I selected post-graduation. So it was like that. So for me, I think the biggest challenge is to be like, identify what I actually like doing and what I actually want my life to look like.
Well, that was a big challenge for you, a big obstacle.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And well, why? Were there too many choices? What was the made it difficult?
Yeah, I think part of it was that I usually am good at a lot of, I'm not trying to boast here. I'm just like, I'm not bad at the,
you
at
have a lot of interests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So one was that, but second was, I had always grown up with this vision that I'll be working a 9-to-5 because that's what my parents do. So I never thought differently.
Uh-huh.
So if anybody, like if you go to our college people and ask them, oh, would blue and red here be freelancers? I think most of them would have said no. No, uh-huh. They won't be like entrepreneurs. They would be in a corporate job is what they would have said.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just went with that plan
idea
in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I just never thought for myself till I had to.
Uh-huh.
And thankfully, I did that when I was like 23. So at least it was not too late. So at 23, I think that was my year when I was like, okay, what do I actually want my life to look like?
Yeah.
And I think when I actually sat down to do that, it became easier.
It became
but
easier.
I
what
think
about
the biggest
red?
Obstacle was not. Yeah.
Yeah, I think very similar to that, but I won't say the same answer because, yes, I do agree with that because we both had that issue. But then I think my different obstacle was definitely like just finding the right balance of relationships to have because
emotional relationships, romantic relationships, or public relationships?
General, mm-hmm. whatever kind of relationship that I have. Because then, when I entered back in school, it was all because you always have, a different group of people in every class that you
do.
So you just kind of like become friends with everyone and you're chill and you're just doing that. But then going into college, you're just kind of like everyone tells you and the media also tells you that you're supposed to have this big group of a circle of friends that are like and you're supposed to party together and go to trips together and just have fun together all the time. And so that's what I started off with because I was like, yeah, that's what a friend circle should be like. That's what a friend circle has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even if my understanding of that was different back in school. But then you're just like, yeah, this is what life is supposed to be like. And so, a lot of the times that has happened where you just get feel that relationships have to be a certain way, that you have to have a certain type of a group around you. But then you realize it doesn't work for you. And then it affects you mentally, emotionally, physically and stuff like that. So I think that definitely was an obstacle because I didn't really know what would work for me. So I had to try and test with different kind of people and different kind of like circumstances and situations to finally come at a point where I'm like, I don't have to pressure myself to be, in this certain situation or to be in this type of like relationship, definitely. So I think that was one big obstacle to just find my own center in the relationships.
You mentioned freelancing. Is it something you are both doing together, opening a business or two different types of freelancing?
Oh, no. We work together. So we both did marketing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we're a marketing team. So, but yeah, we have our own skill sets. So we do apply it differently. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then, we do work more together.
Uh-huh. And what about Mama and Papa? How do they feel about this choice?
They were completely taken aback because they they both come from very traditional jobs because like our dad's a businessman and an engineer and like our mom's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was kind of like, so they expected and like everyone just expected it that we'd always be in a corporate job because it's kind of, a safe option.
Yes.
And and we never really voiced anything different. So that was kind of what was expected. So just jumping off right after our post-graduation, our parents were like, yeah, you're going to get a job. So we're like, no, we're not going to take a job. We're going to take a break and just figure this out. So they're like, okay. And then we both did join an agency and we both worked there for like 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
But then we again decided to quit and we're like, we're freelancing now. And they were like, that's not the right decision really. But then they couldn't really do anything about it because they saw how miserable the two of us were. So they were like, okay, you do you. But if you're crying a year later about, look, my friends have this position, my friends are earning this much and I'm not. If you're going to come crying about that, then it's on you. Like they told us that you have to know these
risks that you're taking.
But of course, both of you. Really do anything. That's not going to happen. Yeah. That's not going to happen. We don't cry.
No. Yeah, very like nice. A year later now, we've been doing it for a year almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than that. Our parents are like, they see it. They see the vision that we had for the life that we're living right now. So they now know. They get it, what we were getting. But I think like most parents, you're
now that's protective. Exciting. That's exciting. So let's say that we started talking about India and the socio-cultural and the economic, financial difficulties and non-difficulties. But here we're coming back to that because we have two young women, you know, and typically women are not the business entrepreneurs, you know, not. I'm saying at a level today, women still have a hard time all over the world.
Yeah,
right? So in that position, it's only a year, I know. And of course, you can't count your fame and fortune and your progress yet, but you're getting an idea of the difficulties and what is going well. Is the work that you are both doing linked to the economy of India, or would your activity thrive despite financial hardships that the country would be going through? Because you're offering a service, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And would that marketing service always be relevant, even in a downturn? Even if, let's say you have a client, let's say you have I'm going to throw a multinational at you, a nice big client. The company's name is ABC. And then you have another client that's a small company, XYZ. And of course, one is going to feel the economic difficulty more than the other. Mm. And so I'm not saying that the name of the game would be to have huge clients, because there are economic trends at a world level as well. But in this sense, do you see yourself, because you're basing your ideas, what you're going to say, on what you've experienced just in 1 year, do you see yourselves still being able to survive when economic difficulties occur at the national level?
Okay, so it's blue here.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I think so. When we decided to go into freelancing, it was like in the middle of COVID.
Oh yes, it was like definitely. Yeah, couldn't get worse.
So it was already. Yeah, I think especially considering like the marketing world, a lot of companies had like cut down their marketing budgets because obviously they were not getting the same kind of income when COVID and everything was going on. So I think for us, one of the consideration was also the timing. And we did wonder whether we would get the kind of clients that we were looking for. And fortunately, I don't know, I think in the marketing world especially, what happens is people bounce back again.
Yes,
because when they're not marketing is for sure sometimes the first place you cut off the money, but it's also the first place you want to spend on when you want new customers.
Yeah.
So the bounce back rate, I think, in that field is higher.
Yeah.
And secondly, I think what worked for us, and I think hopefully will keep working for us, is we don't like to pigeonhole ourselves to like, this is the service we provide.
Yes. Good.
Because as we said, that we both are still not, we have a varied skill set, and we also are not very much into just doing the one thing. We like to keep experimenting and like changing and increasing our skills and like just trying it out. So so I think that's what is also, I think, very important, because right now, especially, most of us don't know what are the skills that will be required 10 down the line, like 10 years down the line, right? Things are changing so fast. So if you don't keep upgrading yourself, if you don't keep like seeing what is actually of value to people out there, it's very easy to fall behind. So I think for us, the primary thing now we're focusing on is, you know, what is the client looking for? What is the place they actually need the value in?
Yeah.
And we'll try to see if we can fit ourselves in that place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it gets, you know, when you get caught up with work, it gets easier to let go of, you know, upskilling yourself.
Yes.
So one more thing that Ardi and I have to be very, and we are trying to be very aware of, is that we don't take so much on our plate that we,
yes,
you know, are not thinking, yes, about the future. We're not planning ahead. So we have now started like saying no to some clients.
Good.
Just
for
so
you.
We have like some extra hours.
Yes, of course.
To like at least figure it out.
So, I mean, all and of think, these yeah. episodes that you have spoken about and learning mm-hmm. about life, obviously it has helped you to make this big decision of going freelance.
Yeah. I think it was around the 40th chapter or whatever, some episode of ours, like halfway through. Are doing this podcast that we did an episode called Should We Quit or Not?
Ah.
And that was just us processing our doubts about, you know, the job that we were doing, because we loved the place we were working at.
Yes.
But then the job didn't really speak to us. So, and we were like, 9 to 5 doesn't really speak to us. So we had an episode that was dedicated to, just working through, working through our thoughts. And then again, like 2 weeks later, we made the decision to quit, and then we had another episode being like, we quit, and this is why we quit. And so,
I think the podcast, like, as I'm saying, you know, a lot of times, especially with people like the two of us, we're introverts, and we tend to do a lot of internal thought processing.
Are you
we
both don't voice introverts? It out. Both of you?
Yeah. I think Blue here, I'm more of an ambivert, I'd say. But, yeah, I think we only open up with people we actually like connect with and all those sorts of things. But I think a bigger problem is that I say it's a problem because now we're coming to realize that when you keep a lot of things in and you don't talk it out, it usually goes out of hand.
Well,
so I think for us, even though we're very close, a lot of problems, even if we're facing together, we won't talk to each other about it.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that.
Because we literally have to come to a place of breakdown where we will, then we will talk about our problems.
Wow.
I think a lot of it has also to do with, you know, we've just experienced it, or just we've internalized this type of thinking that if I verbalize it to like the other person,
the
other person's also going to like get weighed down by it, and we're both going to be in that stress handle. So
you're
like,
not worried about being judged.
No. It's not about judgment. It's about you're going to put the boat, like the two of us, like in that same boat. And so who's going to be the strength, right?
And also I think we both have a very strong wish to like solve it like by ourselves, like our own problems.
Yes.
So when we're not able to and we actually break down, we're like, okay, now we need to speak.
Yeah.
So for us, I think what the frequency of the breakdowns is for sure like reduced because of the podcast. Because it means that every week we're coming together and like talking, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So well, you're going to have to make a promise, both of you. I'm going to ask you to promise me that we will update this conversation in the future when you have to tell me about your work, this new business, this new freelance business, and and we could link it to the economic situation in India, and that will be a really interesting conversation. You said that the elections will be in the future. When is the future national elections in India? Do you know?
So we had it. So we had it in 2019.
Yeah.
So the next one will be 5 years.
Five.
So
okay.
That is,
sure. Yeah. I mean, in Italy, it should be 5 years, but there's always a turnaround. It never gets to the fifth year. It always falls before the fifth year. But that doesn't happen, I guess, in your country.
No, no.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay,
So it's going to be 2024 now.
All right, but I don't want to wait for 2024. I'll wait for 2022. All right, 2022. Another season. When the season changes, promise me that we'll be here again and talk about the latest experiences, okay?
Yeah, sure,
we would love to do that.
Oh, great. That would be great. Thank you so much for taking the time today to come. I really appreciate it. Blue, Red, a big kiss, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for having us on. And you're always like a kind listening ear to
Bye-bye.
Yes, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.